Next matter, Bogey. Good morning.
Good morning. I'm going to reserve 3 minutes. Thank you. You have a mind. Nancy Collins here on behalf of Curtis Bogey. Under the statute that was in effect at the time of the trial court hearing, Mr. Bogey had a right to have a trial if he offered current evidence from a qualified professional showing probable cause of a change in his mental condition brought about through treatment. Mr. Bogey made this showing, but the court rejected it based on its construction of the statute, under which it believed that when the statute required treatment, it meant only the specific kind of mainstream sex offender treatment run by... Yeah, I know, pretty loud.
Ringing.
Yeah, it's loud to me too, so step back. The mainstream sex offender program operated by the Special Commitment Center.
In your reply brief, you seem to refine the statement of the issue in response to the state's argument, saying the state's kind of misunderstood the initial argument. This isn't a question of whether you can just have any kind of treatment. It seems to be you're saying, yes, it has to be sex offender treatment. The question is, does it have to be only the modality used at the SCC? Is that a fair characterization?
Well, it is to a degree, but I mean, just to explain what I mean by that, you read the word in context of the sentence in the statute. You don't. It doesn't mean you're treatment for athlete's foot. Obviously, it means treatment in the context of the kind of treatment that would bring about a change in your mental condition for someone who's been committed. But what the statute did, as written previously, was that the professional would assess the nature of that treatment and whether that was the type of treatment that brought about the required change. So it's, you certainly read that to be in the context of someone who's been committed under 71, under RCW 7109. I don't mean to suggest there's some other kind of treatment totally unrelated would be sufficient. But what the statute did was essentially defer to the qualified professional's assessment that the change in mental condition had been brought about through treatment and didn't require that the new definition that was adopted last year, that the only treatment we will allow is treatment that is the one treatment program offered by the Special Commitment Center. That's the difference. Sorry.
No. Does that end up, though, taking us to the question, even accepting Dr. Howland's testimony as a statement that Native American healing approaches are cognitive-based, even as he states they're more efficacious or as efficacious as any other form of sex offender treatment, and perhaps and probably more long-lasting because of the nature of the lifestyle changes. Even if we accept all that, doesn't that come down to a statement, this could be a standalone treatment modality, and maybe this should be an accepted standalone treatment modality at SCC. But does that mean the legislature intended that an unsupervised program run by a community volunteer is enough accountability to protect the community safety?
Well, I mean, we're at this probable cause. The probable cause standard is the standard that the legislature also put in that same statute, which requires no kind of parsing of that. We have to essentially defer to the opinion of the qualified professional if the professional is deemed qualified when there's not a dispute here. If they assess that, as Dr. Howland did, and said Mr. Bogey received treatment, it qualifies as valid sex offender treatment. That treatment brought this necessary required change, and he had more than probable cause. The trial court has to defer to that assessment and not parse whether that treatment could have been offered differently or is enough. You have to defer to that opinion. And then it's simply giving the right to have a trial where then the state would prove Mr. Bogey is or you know, is not still meeting the criteria for confinement. But that is it is enough, and that's all that's required is this probable cause, this deference to a professional's opinion that the change was brought about through treatment. And there's a detail that Dr. Howland had a detailed report. He spent a lot of time administering tests. He went through risk assessment tools. He interviewed Mr. Brogy. He examined the program he was involved in. And although his report is kind of long-winded, maybe not as concisely written as a lawyer might write, he did reach that conclusion. He has his, you know, resume attached, demonstrates he's had a lot of long list of experiences and papers and research on assessing people in, similar to Mr. Brogy. So the court needed to defer to that and not parse the kind of treatment if the expert says it is the result of treatment that he participated in.
I guess the dilemma is, or the counterpoint is, well, what is treatment? What did the legislature mean? When it comes in as part of the 05 amendments that says we're really troubled with the aging out phenomenon, we're going to clarify and change the standard. But when they get down to it and they're saying why they're doing it, they're talking about the unique long-term treatment needs of these individuals and the long-term needs of the community. And I guess I'm just wondering, is it enough to say, you know, if you cranked it up, you could have a viable treatment modality here, you just haven't done it? Isn't that a different question than we're asked to answer here? Because it hasn't been, it isn't supervised by the treatment team. It isn't part of the administrative record-keeping process.
Well, the word, the treatment, you know, the common sense dictionary definition of treatment is simply, you know, acts relating to the care of a person. The standard under the statute is, and I didn't quote the entire statute, was treatment, a positive response to continuing participation in treatment that indicates a person will be safe to be released. The opinion has to encompass the notion that this treatment is having the desired effect of making this person safe to be released, safe to be in the community, so that the opinion that's the source of this probable cause showing that's required at this preliminary hearing stage is that this the nature of the treatment given was of the kind that made such a positive change that he would be safe to be in the community if released. And that's the opinion that Dr. Hallin gave, and that's what the court
needed. He actually never uses those words, safe to be at large. He just says any risk of
he acknowledges sorry.
Is unrelated to mental abnormality because I conclude he has no mental abnormality.
Well, he has a lot of opinions, but he does cite the question that he was asked to find under the statute at the very beginning of his report. He said, this is what I'm answering. And at the conclusion on 140, 141, he reaches that.
Thank you.
Good morning. May it please the court, my name is Joshua Studer, appearing on behalf of the state of Washington as a respondent in this case. Appellant Brogy fails to prove that his mental condition has changed as a result of participation in treatment. Consequently, this court should affirm the trial court's order denying his petition for a new trial. Now, before going too far into the meat of this, it's important to note that the commissioner did not find error. So this case is a very case-specific question. The commissioner found that this what treatment means is an important thing that the court should address, and that's the reason stated in the commissioner's ruling accepting review. Now, since that review was accepted, the legislature acted to define treatment in RCW 7109020 sub 20, and actually it gives a specific definition for what it means by treatment. So as a consequence, this court's decision won't have a lot of precedential value for going forward. It's going to be very case specific to this case. With that in mind, the trial court correctly denied Brogy's petition because he failed to show substantial change in his mental condition, he failed to prove that he was in treatment of any kind, and he failed to link any alleged change to any alleged treatment that he was in.
Of course, Hallin concludes there is no more mental abnormality.
Personality
disorder. So we have to take that at face value at the probable cause stage, right?
The requirement is that the court look beyond the bare conclusory statement of the expert to determine whether or not that is backed up by facts, and that's from the Ward case, from the McHouston case, McGarry. So the trial court looks beyond that. And Dr. Hallin,
you don't make credibility determinations.
True, but there at least has to be some sort of evidence to back that up. And there simply isn't any evidence. What Dr. Hallin points to is that he has not been acting out. In other words, he has not been sadistically raping anyone while at the SCC, and he hasn't been attempting to do so. But like the court found in McHouston, that is simply not enough. The McHouston court found that a lack of acting out demonstrates only that the SVP behaves appropriately in a secure and highly structured environment. It does not suggest that he no longer suffers from a mental abnormality.
So if Dr. Hallin, if Mr. Brogy had been involved in mainstream treatment and we had the same opinion about his mental abnormality, you would say there would be no probable cause basis for a trial?
Given what Dr. Hallin said in his report, yes, that would be the state's position. But it would be a little different because there would be a lot more evidence for Dr. Hallin to point to. For example, in treatment, we would see records regarding transparency, accountability, relapse prevention plans, things that would keep him from committing these kind of offenses in the future. There would be a discussion of dynamic risk factors or criminogenic need factors that doesn't happen in Dr. Hallin's report. And perhaps Mr. Brogy would be able to show some victim empathy or remorse for what he did, but we don't see any of that because Mr. Brogy wasn't in treatment. Now, specifically to the treatment, it's undisputed that Mr. Brogy was not in the SCC's sex offender treatment program, and that is the only treatment program on the island that is intended to deal with sex offender treatment. There are ancillary programs that deal with things like chemical dependency, and that provides a therapeutic value, but that is not what the legislature intended when it used the term treatment and required that component. He claims that Native American spiritual activities constitute sex offender treatment, but that's simply wrong. And you can look at the definition that's provided by Brogy to the trial court and to your honors, that a Native American treatment program has certain components. First of all, it includes cognitive behavioral relapse prevention program. It's run by a professional who is trained to do psychological treatment. It incorporates Native American elders, and it incorporates Native American cultural and spiritual activities. And that all comes from Brogy's own evidence to the trial court. Now, Mr. Mix, who is in charge of that program, holds no degrees in psychology or social work. He has no experience doing that outside of what he does on the island. He is a graphic designer by trade, so he just simply doesn't have the kind of training that would be necessary to fit that prong of being run by a professional treatment provider. Furthermore, Mr. Mix has come right out and said in the deposition the trial court had that this is not psychotherapy. What he does is not psychotherapy. And the evidence for the trial court was there was quite a bit of it, where it talks about how the focus of Native American activities on the island is to engage in the spiritual and emotional components of a Native American person.
When you go through Mr. Mix's declaration, though, he kind of starts ticking off the boxes. He said he's confronted his violent behavior in the past. He's made progress in recognizing that and dealing with that and having empathy for individuals he's impacted in the past. Aren't those all the kinds of things that flow from the mainstream treatment plan?
Yes. However, Mr. Mix's opinion is not necessarily relevant, and it certainly wouldn't be admissible at the trial court because he is not an expert on those issues. He's not a professional that can make those kinds of qualifications. He would have, or his statements would have, as much relevance as any other lay witness saying, I've observed this person, it appears to me as though he's more empathic. But aside from that, he also doesn't have access to any of the treatment records or any of the SCC records. He has no access to the annual reviews. He has no access to the various reports that were created as a part of this case, so he isn't able to say this was Mr. Brogy's dynamic risk factor constellation and then compare that to how he is now to say that he has been able to change.
Those are all factors, though, within the control of the department. We've got 10 programs around Canada and the United States that validate Native American healing protocols as an effective, efficient modality for dealing with post-traumatic stress and for people involved in violent behavior. Can the department just say, well, you know, that's very interesting, but, you know, you just don't have our blessing. You don't have our records. We haven't given you access to our records. You're doing great work, but, you know, we control the outcome here.
It would be beneficial, and I think there is therapeutic value to engaging in spiritual activities like what's happens on the island in producing positive response to treatment. However, it's not independently sufficient to be involved in the religious activities. That would be akin to saying that reading the Bible, going to church, praying and taking communion, it would be treatment under the guise of the statute, and that's not what's intended. The legislature intended sex offender-specific treatment of Mr. Brogy, or of the SVPs.
But if the only thing that it lacks to be sex offender treatment are a few bureaucratic steps by the department, isn't it self-fulfilling that the department said you just don't make it because we haven't said you can be a modality?
At a minimum, a treatment program has to be presented by a professional. It has to be presented by someone who has the training experience and so on to provide that kind of treatment. Furthermore, it has to at least have some sort of psychological way of assessing it. So in those 10 examples that were provided by Mr. Brogy, those were all incorporated into larger models. They weren't standalone, just Native American healing through the sweat lodge and through the medicine wheel and that sort of thing. These were cognitive behavioral approaches dealing with criminogenic needs, dealing with all of the things that would be typically dealt with in a sex offender treatment program. And then they added to it the cultural and spiritual components of the Native American culture. And that's actually what the SEC has encouraged Mr. Brogy to do. If you were to look at the individualized treatment plan that was presented as a part of the record, it talks about encouraging Mr. Brogy to be involved in the mainstream program and continuing to engage in the spiritual activities with Mr. Mix. So the SEC believes those things can work together to provide good results, but Mr. Brogy chooses not to be involved in the mainstream program in any way. He simply rejects that and now wants to have a trial based on a treatment program that isn't.
He suggests there's some inherent conflicts in the two different approaches. The existing program is inconsistent with the Native American program.
And Your Honor, I'm out of time. I'd be happy to answer the question. Please. If you'd like. Mr. Brogy may not like the treatment program and may think it needs to be improved, but the venue for doing so is not at the probable cause stage to determine whether or not he's met his burden for an unconditional release trial. There are a variety of methods that he could challenge that through an injunction, another lawsuit, those sorts of things, but he doesn't have the ability to do that in this context, and the remedy is not the order of a new trial. With that, ask that the court affirm the lower court's decision. Thank you.
I want to just first address, as Judge Rowland was saying, as Mr. Mix's declaration explains, this is not simply going to church. It's not just a spiritual ritual. The medicine wheel program sounds very much like the mainstream program offered by the SEC in terms of what they're looking for, the self-discovery phase, the learning phase about taking responsibility for your past acts, focusing on violent offenders and identifying their individual triggers, individually developing your internal controls, doing a lengthy personal violence history. As the defense attorneys told the trial court, there was a notebook of full of work that Mr. Brogy had completed in working through this medicine wheel program, which is a program that we get committed to for your life. It's these phases are ongoing, and it's a very detailed and thorough kind of learning about correcting one's behavior and being part of the larger community. And while it's spiritually tied and that gives it the meaningfulness to the individual, the components of it are very much akin to what the mainstream program is. But this program worked with Mr. Brogy, who tried the SEC program and felt degraded in this confrontational approach that's required where it's only group treatment and you have to kind of go through this humiliation, which he found very difficult to get through. He's at the time of this hearing, he was understood from this statute that his program, this Native American program that he had been committed to for a number of years, would be something that the court would look at and assess his ability to have a new trial if a professional believed his mental condition had changed to a degree and making him safe by virtue of his dedication to this program. That for that reason, that the statute in effect at the time of the hearing did encompass this program, this detailed program that he had been committed to for a number of years that had resulted in change in his mental condition. And he did meet the criteria, the legal elements of 71090, that part of the statute, subsection 4, which would entitle him to a hearing. If there are no further questions right now, we would just ask that Mr. Brogy receive the trial that he should receive.